fitter, happier. A program about your health for your health.
And this week on Fitter Happier, we're taking a look at Australia's biggest killer, heart disease. You probably know that older Australians are among those at risks, but younger people are also affected by the disease. More than 24,000 people between the ages of 18 to 40 were affected by some form of heart disease in 2015. Looking after your heart in your younger years is the best way of keeping your heart healthy as you get older. Prevention is key, with up to half of deaths from heart disease preventable by making healthier lifestyle choices. Here to tell us more is Dr. Cara Winnall from the Registry Department of Cardiology at the Royal Perth Bentley Group. Heart health is something we all need to be aware of, not just the middle-aged and elderly. Cara, thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Mag. Now, first off, why is heart health something younger people should be more concerned about than they possibly are?
Look, I think it's really important to acknowledge that heart disease is not just an old person's disease, Chris. You know, the decisions you make in your 20s and 30s are the things that can set you up for having trouble with your heart later in life. Particularly when we say heart disease, what we're talking about is atherosclerotic heart disease, so blockages in the heart arteries. And these blockages build up over years, starting in our 20s and 30s, you know, based on decisions we make, like smoking or the kinds of food we eat or how active we are, whether or not we have high blood pressure or diabetes, and how well we look after ourselves in these years. So I think it's really important that we don't panic about it, but that we're really mindful about the choices we're making so we can have long and healthy lives.
It's about awareness, I guess. Do you think younger people are as aware as they should be of these dangers?
Look, I think these days people are aware of their health, and it's good to see a lot of young people, you know, being thoughtful about the kinds of foods they eat, you know, particularly about where the food might come from, what's in it, how active they are. But I think particularly smoking, alcohol and other drugs, you know, sometimes don't get as much airplay as they have in the past, and we still need to be banging on about the old things about, you know, don't smoke, drink in moderation, you know, avoiding, you know, particularly stimulant drugs that can really damage your heart in more ways than one.
These are obviously the major, I guess, obvious things. Obviously, don't smoke and these other things that will do direct harm to you. But what are some other ways that, well, that everyone, I guess, can stay healthy and reduce the risk of heart disease?
Yeah, well, I think it starts with looking at yourself as an individual. So looking around, you know, heart disease is a combination of genetic factors and environmental factors. So if you look around your family and your mother, father, sister, brother all have having heart trouble, then you need to be particularly aware of that. So thinking about things about, do I have high cholesterol? What's my blood pressure? Things like that are really important. Thinking about the type of work you do as well. So a lot of us are sitting down at work a lot. And, you know, that does have effects on your heart later in life and your weight and things like that. So being mindful about the amount of activity you get during the day is really important.
Sure. How does alcohol consumption affect heart health?
Well, I think there's lots of different ways it does. So first of all, alcohol causes us to gain weight. So that's something that indirectly affects our health. But there are some heart conditions which can be caused purely by excess alcohol consumption. You know, the heart can be weakened or dilated just by alcohol alone. So, you know, that old recommendation of drinking in moderation is really important to still stick with.
Okay, you've talked a little bit about sitting down, I guess, and the idea of being more active. I mean, is there like a certain number of minutes or hours that we should be being active during the week? Is it, you know, 30 minutes after a prolonged time sitting down if we're, you know, maybe working in office? Is it get up every 20 minutes or 30 minutes and make sure you're moving around? What's the sort of advice there?
Yeah, thanks for that. Though, look, it's really difficult to give very specific advice. The general advice that we tend to give in terms of public health is 30 minutes a day.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be in one big lot. It can be 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. And we talk about moderate intensity exercise. So you're getting out there, your heart rate's getting up, you're puffing a little bit, you might break out in a bit of a sweat. It doesn't have to be a one-hour gym session. It doesn't have to be a jog around the block. It's about trying to increase incidental exercise. So, you know, walking to work if you can, riding your bike to work, riding your bike to the train.
Okay.
All these little things really, really add up. And, you know, certainly there's some evidence to suggest that people who are active throughout the day do just as well as someone who sits all day and then does an hour of gym at the end of the day. So, you know, that those incidental activities are exercising your cardiovascular system, getting your heart working, stretching out your vessels, can help to lower blood pressure, control your weight and things like that. And that's a bit different to, you know, exercising for weight loss. That's a slightly different thing. So just because you're not losing weight doesn't mean you're not gaining benefits. You definitely are.
So the important thing is to get that heart rate up.
Absolutely, yeah.
Smoking's obviously been directly linked to heart disease, as you mentioned before. What advice would you give to smokers, even casual ones?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Smoking's possibly the number one preventative, you know, number one thing that causes heart disease that we can prevent. So the important thing is to really never stop trying to quit. It's not easy to quit smoking. Yeah. You know, humans love things that make them feel good.
Yes, we do.
And, you know, people smoke because it makes them feel good. They don't want to stop. So you have to really get to a point in your own mind where you make the decision to stop. It has to be your decision. Plan a time to do it when you know you're not going to be stressed. Don't do it around Christmas time when you're going to be going out all the time.
Yep.
You know, talk to your friends and family about them. Let them know that you're planning to quit. And if you are a friend or a family member of someone who's trying to quit, you know, don't smoke around them. Don't encourage them to have another cigarette. You know, really respect their choice and support them through that. There's a number of medications that you can speak to GPs about which can help you quit. And the vast majority of people get along really well with them and have good success. So just keep trying, keep at it. If you can do it on your own, that's great. If you can't do it on your own, there's Quitline, which is a, you know, online and phone telephone service which can support you. Your GP can support you. They're very keen to support people to quit smoking. Get your friends and family involved. Do it as a group if you can, if you've got mates that smoke. Just keep trying because they are just the worst thing ever and you'll save a lot of money as well.
Indeed. You're listening to Fitty Happier on the Mag on RTRFM 92.1. And this week we're discussing heart disease with Dr. Cara Winnall from the Registrar Department of Cardiology at the Royal Perth Bentley Group. Now, Cara, how do we know if someone is experiencing a heart attack?
Yeah, really good question. So when we talk about heart attacks, it's a sudden blockage of a blood vessel that's taking oxygen and nutrients to the heart muscle. So depending on where that blockage is, it can be very dramatic. So someone can have severe chest pain and look terrible and become grey.
Yeah.
But particularly in women, it can be quite subtle. People might just have some shoulder heaviness or feel breathless or nauseated. They may not have chest pain. So it's important to consider, you know, could these symptoms be a heart attack? And if you're having pain in the chest or, you know, pain in the jaw, arms, shoulders, you have to remember that pain is there because the heart muscle is under stress. So it's important to get to help as quickly as possible.
Sure.
One of the most unfortunate things that we see in cardiology is someone who's ignored their pain for hours and hours and hours, and we get them into hospital, we unblock their artery, but the heart muscle's already been severely damaged.
Sure.
And once it's damaged, this, you know, it's really difficult to help that person's heart recover from that. So, you know, calling an ambulance is really important. Taking some aspirin, 300 milligrams of aspirin, it's one tablet. It's never going to hurt someone. So if you've got some in the house, take one of those and, you know, wait for the ambulance to get there. If you're near the hospital, you can get to the hospital yourself. It's really important. Hospitals are used to people presenting with chest pain and they have efficient protocols for assessing people. If we find out it's not a heart attack, that's great. We're happy.
Yeah.
You're not wasting anyone's
time.
We want to see you.
Yeah.
We'd much rather find out it's not a heart attack and it's something else. So come and see us.
I've always been interested in that because the term heart attack to me kind of implies something immediate, something that's
exactly.
quick, but yours seems like you're talking about symptoms that actually might be prolonged and drawn out.
That's right. It can be quite subtle. A lot of people think heart attack is really cardiac arrest. They expect people to drop to the floor and black out. Actually, with most heart attacks, people just get chest pain. They might feel a bit nauseated or sweaty or breathless. They might not black out. They may not collapse to the floor. It can be very subtle. And the whole goal of, you know, trying to get people to hospital quickly is because if we unblock that blocked artery quickly, we can save your heart muscle and get it virtually back to normal and with a relatively simple procedure. So,
I mean, this might be a little bit of a hard one to answer because obviously there's different types of heart attacks and affects people in different ways. But, I mean, what's the usual course of recovery and adjustments to quality of living for someone who's experienced a heart attack?
Look, if you get chest pain and you get to hospital within the hour, we can do what's called a coronary angiogram. We put a needle and a wire up into the heart.
Mm-hmm.
We open up the blockage, usually put a stent in, and you can be home 2 days later feeling, you know, very much, probably a bit tired and with a whole bunch of new tablets, but pretty much back to where you were. Whereas people who come in very late, you know, they end up with a condition called heart failure. They can end up with heart failure, which is essentially where the heart muscle is damaged and weakened. And this can result, you know, in breathlessness and dizziness and fluid accumulation in the body. So that's sort of two ends of the spectrum. So that's why we really encourage people to get to hospital quickly so we can help you as much as possible.
Fantastic. If people want to find out more about risks and how to deal with them, where can they find out more information?
Oh, look, the National Heart Foundation website is absolutely amazing. It's very easy to navigate through, easy to understand. If you're interested in quitting smoking, please go to makesmokinghistory.org or HealthyWA is our Department of Health website, which has got lots of information as well. So, yeah, let's not be freaked out about heart health, but I think if we all start in our 20s and 30s thinking about how can we, you know, make sure we're leading healthy lives, we're going to have longer lives, but particularly healthier lives with good quality of life as well.
Fantastic. Cara, thank you so much for joining us on The Mag this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is an independent community radio station that relies on the public for financial support. You can subscribe online at rtrfm.com.au/subscribe.